Member Helen Hawkins. Ms. Hawkins, if you could please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We do have a quorum. I would entertain a motion to approve the March 17th meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Ms. Hawkins, we have second. Ms. Glasper, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We do have one speaker this evening, Recorder Amy Meyer.
Okay, I have some good news for you guys tonight. It's about time government says something that everybody can applaud about, right? Well, get ready to clap. I'm here to tell you how proud I am of the staff in the recorder's office. Our team of 11 ladies, Anna Caro, who just celebrated 25 years with Madison County. So, yep. Thank you. And I'm going to let you know that they're not here to hear those claps right now, because my staff is working right now. They're working overtime a little bit because we are facilitating a new system that we have just gone into. It is a processing system called iPro. We made it up ourselves. In, prepped, processed, recorded, and out the door. Now, when I first came into office, it was taken anywhere from, up to at least a week to have these things happen. And I am happy to announce that after a great deal of time, consideration, and teamwork, because we would have never been able to accomplish this without the teamwork of our employees, we are now at a 24-hour turnaround. So we are helping to fuel the economic engine for Madison County, and to get a record in and have it out the door, returned, recorded, looked at within 24 hours, that is something to be very proud about. It sets the standard. We're the first ones doing it. So you should know that. You should also know that this has been accomplished by a team of ladies. And when I say teamwork, it was absolute teamwork. I'd like to take a little credit. Even the Cardinals need a good manager. I'll take Whitey Herzog. That's the one I'd like to be. But I just wanted to let you guys know this. And I wanted to also let you know we take a lot of pride in what we do. And at the last meeting, Mr. McRae said that we were low-hanging fruit. I was offended by that. The women in my office were offended by that. We felt that it was sexist. I'm a feminist. I'm not in favor of that. We are not low-hanging fruit. We are empowered employees for Madison County. We are not a cost center. We are a service center. We do not take taxpayers' dollars. We provide services for the taxpayers for a fee. And so thank you all very much, and thank you especially to our team. You should be very, very proud of what they have done for you, Madison County. Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, for the record, since my name was mentioned specifically.
Yes, you may.
I didn't say the Recorder of Deeds office was low-hanging fruit. I said that the elective office of the Recorder of Deed was low-hanging fruit. I think it's an archive of the past, and it needs to be eliminated. I totally support that.
Very good. If we could move on to appointments, I'm pulling from the agenda appointment 24, and I think there's been a request to consider appointment 2 to be considered separately, and so I would entertain a motion to approve all other appointments other
so moved.
Than 2
second.
And 24. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We have one appointment. Then we have that we're going to be separately considering, and that is appointment of Charlotte Dixon. I am recommending her for an appointment to a 5-year term to fill the vacant position at the Metro East Sanitary District. Any discussion?
So moved.
I have a question.
Yes, we don't have a second. Is there a second? Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, yes.
Mr. So one McCray? Of the things that's concerned me about this particular board that I brought up in the past is the fact that they, my understanding is they receive free health insurance for they and their families as being, you know, they get in addition to their salaries of $15,000 a year. Is that in fact correct?
I honestly don't know.
Really? I mean, I've asked you about this twice, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know.
Okay.
And I think it's $14,500. So the MESD,
okay.
It's the same as the county board that's okay. Stipulated.
Well, I'd like that issue because I talked with the two Republican appointees 6 or 8 months ago whenever their appointments came up, and I told them in our phone conversations that I thought it was an over-the-top benefit. They agreed to that. And now that we're appointing a third person, I have said that's my litmus test for endorsing someone. So I would like that issue fully understood by the board, and I would just make a motion that we postpone this appointment until we can get that for
second.
My own certification.
Second.
I would appreciate that.
To postpone that for 1 month?
For 1 month.
Okay.
And I'd like if we can get that back to the board and make sure that is in fact the case and what the plan going forward is, because I think too many people in Madison County struggle with their health insurance. I think it's an over-the-top benefit to have free health insurance for they and their families. If that is in fact true,
okay.
It's unfair to the taxpayers.
So we have a motion and a second to postpone. If we could just have a voice vote, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So it's postponed. That's postponed until next month.
Mr. Chairman.
I do have a question.
Yes, Mr. Madison.
Thank you, sir. Could we also look into maybe phasing that health insurance for that board out?
That's a decision of the MESD board, and so feel free to talk to the MESD board members, but that's an independent board.
Well, this is where we put a stop to these types of things, because I think if taxpayers knew that, I think they would be offended by it, and I think this is the time when they come up for appointment, we make it understood that this is what we expect, and I think it's good common sense government. This is the way these things get started that never get stopped unless we put a stop mm-hmm. to it right now.
Yes. Mr. Wesley?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that would follow in line with what we did with our own department part-time employees as well.
Okay. Well, anyone should feel free to contact MESD and talk to them on that. It is a separate board. We have a lot of separate boards here, and so they have their own policies, and I honestly don't know what has been done. We do have two St. Clair County board members appointed from St. Clair. We have three from Madison. We have two appointed already and one vacancy. So I just don't know the policy. I'm very proud of what they've been doing there, but I'm not up to speed on the health insurance issue. So,
Mr.
Yes. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Watkins?
We have nothing to do with St. Clair board members. They are governed by St. Clair County and appointed. When it comes to health insurance, no, I refused health insurance when I was on the levy district. I agree with what Mr. McCray is talking about, the others. It just goes on too much. I, as far as appointing the lady, yes, I'm very much approval of that. As far as it stands, I see there's no conflict of interest. I do know that the statute said she must be a Democrat. Apparently, she voted in the last primary, which now makes her a Democrat. So, but I do agree with what's been brought up on this floor. Thank you.
Very good. Any other discussion, Mr. Asadorian?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you bring up a valid point. That is an independent group. We cannot determine their benefits or their pay or anything on that order. They are paid by a separate taxing system, and that would have to come under their jurisdiction, not ours.
Very good. Any other discussion, Mr. Parkinson?
I would still like to know whether she's planning on taking that before I cast my vote.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Walters.
Mr. Givens, I'm sorry to throw you out on this. Have you had any time, or could you look into that to see if that is something that we can do, the MESD board has to do, or is that something the state may have to do, and then just maybe let us know at the next meeting?
I'm happy to look into that. That's okay. Not a question that's been given to us before, so I have to research that.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I had a question from last week, so I guess this is a point of personal privilege. I believe one of my colleagues raised the issue of one of the appointments that is supposed to be either Republican or Democrat, And I think someone was going to look into that. Did we, because the appointment was based on political party, did we determine that, in fact, the lady in question was a member of the particular party that you have to be part of to be appointed?
When I interviewed Mrs. Dixon, she told me she was a Democrat. When we, when I went to the Madam Clerk's office, there was no evidence that she had ever voted in a primary at all. But she was a regular voter in non-primaries, and so she had not pulled a partisan ballot at all. In this last election, she did pull a Democrat ballot.
Thank you for that answer.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, if we could move on to facilities. And Mr. Madison, if I could ask you to bring in both.
We need to do 24.
Yeah, if I could ask you to bring in Mr. Madison, all the resolutions, all of them from BNC, from the Facilities Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow board members, the Facilities Committee has three items for your consideration. I will bring in, as the chairman said, both item B and C together. Item C is an amended resolution for host fee fund money to do some asbestos abatement at the Wood River facility. So item one under column B is resolution to award contract for the ADA ramp upgrade and replacement project at the county courthouse for facilities management department out front of the building here. Item two is resolution to award contract for the replacement and upgrade of electrical service design and build project at the county courthouse. And item C is the amended award to contract for asbestos abatement services for the boiler room at the Woodward facility. And I would ask for their adoption, or move for their adoption.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Minner.
I'd like to separate that the number one about the asbestos. I have to abstain from voting on that.
Okay, very good. So we should perhaps vote on those separately. Could we consider first, Mr. Madison, the resolution C1 on asbestos? Mr. Minner is planning to abstain.
Yes, Mr. Chairman,
okay.
That's fine.
So we have a motion and a second for the C1, the amended resolution award the contract for the asbestos abatement. Any discussion?
So this is for 1 and 2, correct?
This is for C1. This is for C1.
All right.
Alone. And Mr. Minner is planning to abstain from that. Yes, Mr. Walters?
Shouldn't we vote on B first since it's there?
Should we?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, let's vote on B1 and 2 first then. Okay. So, and that's when, Mr. Minner, you can go ahead and vote on B1 and 2. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, any discussion on B1 and 2?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On the second one for $113,345, there's three asterisks there. Unless I'm missing something, I was wondering, what do those asterisks refer to?
Mr. Madison, do you know what those three asterisks refer to?
Item number two?
Sachs Electric.
I'll have to find it in my packet here.
Was that just an indication of the company that
it was the indication of the low bidder.
The indication of the low bidder, yeah.
Very well, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call on B1 and 2.
Well, at least it is not mine. I was reading some Vygotsky. He was Gwizdowski, yes, Steve.
So we know that the IT department doesn't have all the brains. So
second time.
Very good. I said that. Okay. All right. So we are now going to C1. We have a motion and a second for C1, the amended resolution to award the contract for asbestos abatement services. Any discussion? Mr. Minner is abstaining. Hearing none, roll call. Okay, motion carries. Ms. Champulli, if you could please bring in D1 and 2 and E1 and 2 on behalf of the Finance and Government Operations Committee.
D and E, did you say?
D and E.
Oh, yes, sir. Finance and Government Operations Committee has four resolutions for approval. First one is the summary report for claims and transfers. Number two is a resolution authorizing the settlement of a workers' compensation claim, file number 17-033. A resolution to purchase 10 new model year 2018 police utility all-wheel drive replacement vehicles for Madison County Sheriff's Office. Number two is a resolution to purchase one new model year 2018 all-wheel drive police interceptor vehicle for the Madison County Coroner's Office. And I would seek approval on all those.
Any discussion?
We have a second?
Yes.
Okay, we have a second.
Good.
Yes. Roll call. This is D1 and 2 and E1 and 2. Motion carries. Mr. Jones, on behalf of the Grants Committee, if you could please bring in the resolutions F and G.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. First, I'd like to bring forward a resolution authorizing the AMRIN participating agreement. Number two, actually, Madam Clerk, I have a question on this. On the sign sheet that went out in the minutes, it's missing five of the committee members' names. I was pointed out to me by Ms. Dalton. I don't know, do I need to make an amendment on it?
That's all that was signed.
That was all that was signed? Well, everybody was there.
I noticed that with the other two, but on that resolution, it was missing signatures.
It was missing five.
So I can't assume. And I'll add them in the minutes if that's the right thing. But
I mean, they were, because all five, I mean, everybody was there at that meeting, so I don't know.
It's still passed the committee. So.
It still passed the committee, right. Yeah, but it's going to show some of these members weren't there.
I think it's all right.
Can they sign them after the meeting?
Minutes, yeah. I mean, it's in the minutes. You voted on it. It was approved.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you could sign that after the meeting, I would think.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure they get it. So. All right. Number two, a resolution authorizing the application to Illinois Department of Human Services for the 2019 Emergency and Transitional Housing Grant in the County of Madison. Number three, a resolution authorizing the application to the Illinois Department of Human Services for the 2019 Emergency Solutions Grant in the County of Madison. Did you want me to bring in Gene?
Yes, if you would, please.
A resolution awarding bids for the weatherization of the HVAC contractors, the third and final installment of last year's.
Do we have a second?
Yes, you have a second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Mr. Maxwell, on behalf of the Planning and Development Committee, could you please bring in the resolutions?
One second, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, motion carries. Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on behalf of the Planning and Development Committee, I have four resolutions for your consideration. Item Z180017 will be pulled out separately, but I would like to group the other three, Z180015, 0019, and 0020. Was passed by a majority of the board, and I move for their adoption.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Lisa. Again? Sorry.
Come on, Lisa.
Motion carries. Mr. Maxwell.
Mr. Chairman, I have resolution Z180017, and I present it to you, and I move for its adoption as approved by the committee.
You have a second.
Second.
Any discussion on this one? Hearing none, roll call.
Lisa.
I'm sorry, Lisa?
Yes, was there any questions or conflict with this within the board?
Yes, Ms. Champoli, there were. Due to the fact that what this is zoned as, moving to an agricultural lot, and the variance is basically cutting it in 50%, going from a 2-acre requirement to a 1-acre requirement on private sewage, there was discussion about that.
But it did pass, correct?
It did pass. It did pass with a majority of the committee.
Mr. Asadorian?
I believe we had a discussion about the same type of situation last month. That what if we put rules in place, you know, we want to hedge 10 or 15 feet. That's a variance. Hedging 50% is not a variance. You know, we had a discussion about some other property last month, didn't we?
Yes, sir, we did, Mr.
And it was basically the same thing, wasn't it? It was almost cutting it in half.
It was significant, yes, sir.
And, I mean, why do we have rules in place? We're going to keep getting these variances. I don't know these people. I don't know what. It's just that when you're cutting requirements 50%, then it's not right. It shouldn't be a variance. Maybe it should be a rezone. You know.
Mr. Madison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry.
Whenever we have these discussions, Mr. Chairman, it's always brought up, well, these are the rules. Why do we even have these rules if we're going to keep granting variances? Yeah. Well, why do we have variances, I guess, would be my question to that question. We have variances because in the planning world, it is – the variance is known as the relief valve of liberty, many people have said, because zoning always brings up questions about people's property rights and their liberty. So we offer variances, and when there is no opposition and it really doesn't create problems, a variance is usually granted. It is flexible on purpose and for that reason, because liberty is the single most important thing about our country.
Okay.
In this area, Mr. Chairman, that 1-acre size fits a subdivision just a couple of lots away from it. It fits into the area, and the Zoning Board of Appeal didn't feel that it would create any problems.
Mr. Walters?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, can I ask Mr. Maxwell a question? Mr. Maxwell, did any of the neighbors oppose this?
I do not believe they do.
So none of the neighbors oppose this. They seem to be okay with it, and we want to vote this down because, I mean, I agree with Mr. Madison. We've got variances in there for reasons. If you had neighbors upset about this, I can understand. But if none of the neighbors have a problem with it, then I don't see why we're going to vote something down where, A, most, you know, whosever district this is in, to me, is pretty important. If they're for it and their neighbors are good with it, then we should be good with it. Because that's the way it used to always be, is if somebody was for it, they were for it. But as you said, none of the neighbors opposed it.
Not to my knowledge,
so,
sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Petrillo?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow members. Brad, correct me if I'm incorrect here, but as I recall, this is a family member that wants to build a home beside a home that exists. I think it's a daughter. And there's plenty of room here for them to follow the ordinance. Now, we have, and we're going to be discussing it, I guess, our next meeting, called a comprehensive plan. And I think comprehensive probably has a strong meaning to it. It's not just a suggestion. And we're not talking about the here and now, but what about the future? So as I recall, this person that wants to build a home on this land could in fact do it with the 2-acre allowance. And the people that farm that property would be and allowed to continue to farm a portion of that 2 acres. So to me, why do we have any rules and regulations? Why don't we, at some point, someone out there is going to say they're playing politics? Well, I tend to think that that could very well be the case. Does that mean it's happening? No, but it's a perception. When you have a set of rules and guidelines, I agree with Mr. Asadorian, yes, there are times to compromise and help people out. But in this particular case, we could have met the comprehensive plan, and we could have kept order, and the people that wanted to farm could have continued to farm. There was no problem.
Mr. Wesley?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is in my district. I spoke with the people. It is absolutely correct that there were no opposition from the neighbors around. Mr. Madison was also correct in identifying a subdivision that's immediately adjacent to it with less than 1-acre lots. The farm that he's talking about farming is the plot is a 4-acre plot. The farmer owns 2 acres. The daughter lives in an existing house on the other 2 acres. She wants to sell that property because they're moving out of state, and she wants to sell off the property that is encompassed with the yard and the house and the outbuilding, and she wants to leave as much farmland as she possibly can in her family. And with no opposition from the neighbors, I support this.
Wait. No, that's... That's
we're talking about the one on Fort Russell Township.
Right.
Okay. This is discretion of the different.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Wesley, this is the one in regards to Fort Russell Township.
I'm sorry.
This is in your district. You're 5. Yes. Right? Yes, Mr. Michael.
I'm on that committee, and I understand that if you're sitting here in this building and you hear from 2-acre to 1-acre, and if you're from Edwardsville, Collinsville, Granite City, or within the city of, say, Highland or Troy, that sounds like a big difference. But we're talking about a family farm who the daughter wants to stay on the farm and wants a 1-acre house, a lot, so that her father can keep farming the rest. And there's really, actually, if you look, I'm on the committee, so I have the photos and the aerials. There is nowhere to go unless you were to elongate the property, which to make it 2 acres, meaning directly to the north, there is no further way she could go, which is actually the only suggested way that would make sense. So there is no way to really do it for 2 acres unless you make a lot that is extremely long and very narrow, which if we're going to start requiring people to do that on their family farm, which is out in the middle of nowhere, to me, it just sounds pretty like a government overreach. And we're sitting here in Edwardsville going to tell people how to split up their farm to their daughter. I think it's overreaching. So I stand by my vote, and I don't always grant the variances, but in this case, I think it makes 100% sense to go case by case and to listen to these people, listen to the neighbors. Neighbors don't object. Everybody's fine with it.
Mr. Asadorian, if
you... Yes, my whole point, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, is that a variance, I imagine a variance, or I foresee a variance as I want to put up a fence. It's going to be 6 feet from the property line instead of 8 feet. That's a variance. When you take something and slice it in half, that's not a variance. That's a rewrite. And it's my understanding of variance, you vary from the norm. And norm is these parameters. You know, and when you start saying, well, 6 feet can be 8 feet, well, no, now it could be 20 feet, now it could be 50 feet, where do you stop? Where do you stop? And like I said, I don't know the situation here. I think it's nice that somebody wants to build on the family farm and be next door to the mom or whatever. But, you know, we have these rules in effect, and if we keep allowing these to be sliced by 50%, I think we're creating a real monster here.
Okay. Ms. Champoli?
Yes. When you all were talking about the comprehensive plan, I went to one of the meetings about the comprehensive plan, and the one thing they stressed is that they were not going to interfere with family farms and impose the comprehensive plan that they could do what they needed on their farms and allow family members to separate and divide so that they can remain on their family farms, multiple family members in different homes.
Mr. McCray?
First of all, I mean, the reason we have a zoning board that goes out there to the premises and to have hearings is so we can get a feel for, you know, the lay of the land and the neighborhood, and that's why we have the – and whether you – a variance, I guess, is the interpretation in everybody's own mind. But I know it's very common to have two or sometimes even three houses on the same family farm. And I think if we start – I agree with Mr. Michael. I think it's kind of an overreach. Once we start to say, you know, this land has been in people's, you know, families for generations – and I just, you know, a 1 acre, that's a very large plot of land to put a house on. So I support the.
Ms. Novosich?
Yes, thank you. Call to question, please.
Yes.
Was it yes?
But this, if we could just clarify this, Mr.
Yes,
Maxwell.
Mr. If you, a vote of yes is upholding the variance that was approved in committee, a vote of no would be to shut this down.
Very good. Thank you. Roll call. Motion carries.
Surprise.
Mr. Chapman, if you could please bring in from the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee the property trustee resolution.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I move the tax resolution unanimously approved by the Tax Cycle Committee on Tuesday, April 10th. On April 10th, be approved by the county board.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carried. Mr. McCray, on behalf of the Transportation Committee, could you please bring in the items?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have the Transportation Committee has six items for the board's consideration tonight. We have an agreement funding resolution for the Broadway Street resurfacing in the city of Highland. We have an agreement for the funding resolution failing road improvements phase one with the city of Granite City. We have an agreement funding resolution for failing road improvements phase two with the city of Granite City. We have a report of bids for the 2018 motor fuel tax county bituminous materials for Madison County. We have a report of bids for 2018 road district bituminous materials. And item number six is a right-of-way acquisition on Siler Road. These have been approved by the Transportation Committee, and I would make a motion for their approval.
We have a second. Any discussion? Mr. Asadorian?
I just got a question. When is Siler Road eventually going to be done?
Art, neither one of us will be around when that happens.
I was on that committee, and that's all we do with Siler Road. So, okay.
Okay. Very good. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. I do have some, and then moving to new business, I myself have some new business, and that is I will be recommending to the Government Relations Committee to consider putting PTEL on the ballot in November. PTEL is the property tax extension limitation law. And according to the Illinois Department of Revenue, PTEL is designed to limit the increases in property tax extensions for non-home rule taxing districts. So I will be putting that on the agenda for the Government Relations Committee. Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Might I suggest, Mr. Chairman, that that would also be appropriate to be in front of the Tax Cycle Committee, which touches all tax matters.
Good point. I will also let the Tax Cycle Committee review that also. Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
I'd like to see some studies from other agencies in reference to that and how it affects schools, especially small schools, with their tax dollars. I'm sure there's some other counties out there. I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I'm just saying that I'd like to see some of the studies from some of the other areas that have implemented that to see how it has affected schools, especially in the smaller districts.
I think that's a good suggestion. PTEL has been enacted in 39 counties in Illinois, so I'm sure there are many examples of how it's affected things. Mr. Malone?
You can check Macoupin County because Macoupin County is PTEL.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Petrillo.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow members. Under new business, which is really kind of an ongoing old business, as the mental health liaison, I'd like to get some clarification and help every member here to understand a little more about what's going on with the Mental Health Board. And these folks, rather than hear it from me or hear it from Mrs. Roth, I'm going to ask Mr. Ezra if he would speak to this situation. It's a lot more complex than what we'd like to think it is. We'd like to think that it's a real easy thing, that maybe we could just do some kind of a lotto and instantly make things go away. But if we're going to do things right, I think they are doing their due diligence. And also, after Mr. Ezra makes his comments, I would encourage each of the members to keep from calling Mrs. Roth and maybe direct calls to me, because she has a job to do, and it's quite complicated to do this with a two-person staff that she's been asked to accomplish. So if I may, I'd like to have Mr. Ezra address. There he is. It's your pleasure. Is that okay?
I have not seen where we've had any concrete recommendation at this point.
Well, we don't
is that
have
appropriate at this point, or maybe it should go to the Mental Health Board?
This needs to be clarified for each member here, and I think that's what we need to know. We need to understand, what is this process? Why?
Mr. Petrillo, if I could send that discussion to the Institutions Committee to be discussed in detail.
Okay, the next time we have an institutions meeting, I'm hoping every one of you are there. I think this is the easiest way to do it, but I'm told it's not.
We can't have somebody come and...
No, I think it's more appropriate to do it in committee. That's what the committees are for, to discuss the details, because in this case, we're just looking to... I think that's more appropriate.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are we asking for a legal opinion from Mr. Ezra?
Yes, exactly what it stated.
I would like to hear from our legal counsel, Mr. Ezra, on this issue.
I think we're talking about a specific issue of the Mental Health Board, and I think it belongs first, as we do our business in committees, it really is better. And I did not put anyone up, as you noticed, for appointment in the Mental Health Board, but I think it's more efficient that it go to the Institutions Committee.
Mr. Chairman, if we're having an issue that we need legal advice on to resolve...
We have many issues with legal advice.
And what we always do is we always ask for, legal advice during the meeting, and basically that's what we're doing, I take it, as we're asking.
I would like to see a recommendation in writing at the Institutions Committee. Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a point of personal privilege. I think that Mr. Petrillo raises an important issue for us it is important for us to staff to look into at some depth. And I would like to say, as one board member, and I don't know how many would agree with me on this, that two concerns of mine is the appropriate procedures for appointment, because apparently that's been an issue throughout discussion. And the second thing I would like to see, depending upon ordinances and statutes that may be around, which might be a legal issue, is which was raised by one of our guests in public comment, is what is the best composition of the board? Because when you have a vision of what the best composition of the board is, Mr. Chairman, then everything else ought to fall into place in terms of the appropriate appointment procedures.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that, but I think it's more efficient that this issue, that we have an opinion, a recommendation from the state's attorney's office in writing.
I'm not saying I want to hear from something from Mr. Ezra right now, sir, if I was not clear. I'm just
That's
saying.
Fine. Sure.
I think we do need to look at the two issues I just asked about.
Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Walters.
Mr. Gibbons, I talked to you a little bit before the meeting. I just needed some clarification on our last meeting. I was talking with my seatmate. We were somewhat confused on a couple of issues. Number one, we were told that we cannot take items off of the agenda within 48 hours. Is that your belief to be true?
Whether or not an item can
be taken off of, not added, but taken off.
Well, the only the limitation of the Open Meetings Act is a limitation on the consideration of items. So if items are not considered, it's not in violation of the Open Meetings Act as to removal of items. But there are some, for example, on the issue that you're asking about in terms of the motion to reconsider.
Right.
A motion to reconsider is not contradictory to the Open Meetings Act because there is no conflict because the Open Meetings Act doesn't
speak to it. No, I'm not asking about the Open Meetings Act. I'm asking, can we take things off of the agenda within 48 hours of the meeting?
I think it depends on the items. Because there are some items that are required to go on the agenda.
But on something like that's part
example,
of it. From what I've read from the attorney generals, we can. We can take things off of there. Now, if it's time
it depends
specific,
on the items. I would agree. For example,
the
chairman tonight removed his recommendations for appointment. He has the power to do that, and that isn't in any way violative.
Right.
But there are certain things that have to move forward.
A reconsideration is not something that has to move forward.
It is. It's by
ordinance. It's something that he has to do within the month. Okay, because that was not my understanding. And then you and I talked, and this is the issue that Mr. Holliday and I had. We voted he recommended that we voted on the reconsideration, and that's what the motion and second was. So Mr. Holliday and I were under the impression that we were indeed voting to reconsider, but when I talked to you a little while ago, you kind of said the reconsideration that we voted on was actually not to reconsider. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The process in the Madison County Ordinance is for reconsideration. It's effectively analogous to a veto by the president.
Can you kind of dumb this down? I'm sorry.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
So I'm trying to give an analogy. If the legislature federally, just like the county board, passes a law, the executive has a veto power, in this case the county board chairman, and that veto power is specifically described in the ordinances. And what the ordinances say is that if the chairman within 10 days of the passage of a resolution in front of the whole county board returns it to the members requesting reconsideration, it shall be placed on the next full county board agenda and shall be voted upon in its original form. So voting upon the original resolution is what a motion to reconsider accomplishes. It's simply, the reconsideration doesn't mean voting whether, the reconsideration is you shall be considering the item again. That's what reconsideration is. It's a clean vote on the exact same thing that was voted on and passed in the prior meeting.
So then the motion was, and this is my belief, and it was Mr. Holliday's belief, that we made a motion to reconsider the resolution.
Yeah,
and as a matter of fact, Doc Holliday was the only one that voted no, because he thought if you voted yes, we were voting to reconsider the motion.
Well, that's just simply a misunderstanding, and I'm sorry I wasn't here to clear that up.
Okay.
But reconsidering the motion was simply to vote on it as if it appeared brand new again, exactly in its original form. So a yes vote would be to pass it again, and a no vote would be
okay.
to vote.
And see, that's not the way it was explained last month. And that was what
no,
we
it's
what
a simple
we
majority.
Were concerned yeah. about. So,
it's a simple majority.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, I apologize for the confusion. Hopefully that's cleared
well,
it up.
Well, thank you. You did clear it up.
Sure.
I have one more issue that I, and maybe, Mr. Chairman, I should refer this to a committee if you would like. I don't know if we have ethics committee, but you probably saw the article that was written about a specific county board member and another elected official on some ethical things. Have you had a chance to review this? Have you read these articles? And if so, do we need to refer this to the Ethics Committee? Or, Mr. Gibbons, do you need to look into this? I mean, I don't want to get into names and point fingers. I'm just
case law on that issue.
You will review some case
law? Yeah, it's under review. Yeah, I mean, we're taking a look at it.
Okay, and who's going to be doing the reviewing on this?
Mr. Ezra and I are both looking at it.
Okay. Could there be a possible conflict of interest in that? If specifically if a relative of somebody is working with somebody that's...
Is this an item for executive session? I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm just asking if... I mean, we can go into executive session if you want to, or we can refer it to committee if you want to. It doesn't matter to me. But this is... It was brought up. I looked at it. If there is a conflict of interest, I hope that if there is, that we would refer this to some other office. So,
well, certainly we'll consider
okay,
that
you.
Issue.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Gibbons. Absolutely. I appreciate it. Really good.
Is that enough? Okay. Any other discussion? Any other new business? Ms. Harris?
As the chair of county institutions, I just wanted to reiterate, we all know mental health has been something that has hung over the head of our committee for several months now. I want to thank Nick for stepping up as our liaison and announcing to us and trying to move this forward, because I think this has been an area of frustration for a long time. We have made some headway, but clearly we have more that we need to make, and also to make sure that we are legally on the right track. Our next meeting is May 9th. If you feel strongly that you do not want to hear an opinion today, I just want to make sure that we know this will move us back another month.
I'm very interested in an opinion, but I hope it's written and efficient. So that's my point. Any other new business? Yes, Ms. Dunn.
I would also
comment on that. Our May 9th meeting is moved to a different location.
The
is that correct?
Alternative school. Okay,
can somebody remind me of that?
What?
Is that right?
The county institution May 9th meeting has been moved to the
Freeman School. Is that what you just said?
Alternative school in Troy.
Yes. Yeah. So, but you're still welcome to attend.
Very good. Any other new business? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Mr. Walters, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Have a good evening.